Praise the Lord. This morning, I want to bring a lesson that the Lord has put in my heart about. It speaks about when the defenses are gone. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them what happens when the defenses are gone.
What happens when the defenses are gone? Okay, I can see some people are not telling other people in their neighbors, and they are looking at me. It is good to obey in the house of God. Amen? What happens when the defenses are gone? Amen. We all need the defenses. Every country needs their defenses. And at the moment, right now, there's a war in one of the northern African countries that is going on between the Libyan government of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi and the coalition forces. And what is happening right now, their mission from the United Nations mandate is to protect the civilians. And Colonel Gaddafi has been using his weaponry to bomb his citizens. I've never seen anything like that. He uses airplanes and he uses big machinery to bomb his own people. But I thank God because some countries have decided enough is enough and they came together. I thank God because of humanity. Let me tell you, whether people are, whatever they are, Muslims or they are Buddhists, wherever they are, as long as they are human beings, there is that passion a human being will have for another human being. And so what they are doing is destroying the defenses of Colonel Gaddafi. And they have paralyzed him to up to a certain extent. How many of you have heard of the war in Libya? We had that discussion yesterday, okay. So what they are doing is that they are destroying his defenses. And so now the army that is allied to Colonel Gaddafi have no power. They have nowhere to go because their defenses have been taken away. And so they are pulling now towards Tripoli, and the rebel fighters are advancing towards Tripoli. I think within a matter of days, because his defenses are really being destroyed, Colonel Gaddafi will have to bow or run away out of Libya. Amen? So I thank God. So we just want to focus ourselves. What happens when the defenses are gone? There was one man in the Bible, and by the way, we need to pray for the nations. The Lord has really been speaking to me about these are the last days. And not that this, actually, let me just say this, it's not connected to a mission. Last night I had a dream, Pastor, and I'm just saying this because I saw you. There was like planes all over. Every country had a planes in the air. And there was like every country they were taking people from the streets to go and fight. It was kind of like every country was fighting. And I saw Pastor Wilson, he was hired as the one who directs, you know, one of them, the strongest. I think the U.S. military had hired Pastor Wilson, and he was directing the pilots, you know, how, where to go, bomb which land. I don't believe that was from the Lord. Anyway, I just thought of saying this because that's what I had a dream of countries fighting, and Pastor Wilson, I saw Pastor Wilson with those things telling the pilots, this is the way to go to the Air Force, come into the airfield so that they can fly and go and bomb. I believe maybe he was doing that spiritually. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I just want to focus on one person. His name is Nehemiah. Praise the Lord. And if we can go into the book of Nehemiah, the first chapter, I'm not going to keep you long, but we are going to be blessed. I can promise you that. And the first person who finds it, he can read, let's read the first three verses. Is there anybody who found it? Nehemiah is after the book of Ezra. Read the first chapter, verse number 1, 2, and 3. Nehemiah chapter number 1. Now, the story of Nehemiah is a story of rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And this happened it happened in the 5th century before Christ. Praise the Lord. It is a part of a very, very long history that we all hear from Israel in the city of Jerusalem, which from time immemorial, from a very, very long time, there has been unrest in the Middle East. In fact, From the time I began to realize that I would understand information way back, I think I was still maybe in class number 5 or standard 5, you know. I still remember listening on over the broadcast of the war in Jerusalem. And until today, until this very hour, there's still tensions in that country. Tensions between the Jews and the Arabs. And this battle will never be solved until when Jesus Christ one time, when we know as he comes on the second coming, and there will be a great war in the northeast. That is the time when we will never ever hear about this war again. But as long as the Savior has not come for his second coming, I can almost guarantee you that when you tune on your CNN or when you tune on your Fox News or whatever channel that you tune on to receive your news, there will be something that is happening in the Middle East. And so Jerusalem has been a city that has been on siege since a long, long, long time ago. And you know what? The Lord really determined or desired Jerusalem to be his own city, his dwelling place. And as he designates it to King David at one point, he speaks to David and he tells him, hey, you know what? I want you to build that city. I want you to make it beautiful because I want that city to be my dwelling place. Praise be to God. And we see David getting into the city of Jerusalem and building a temple for the Lord and building a wall. There were many kings even who came would build a wall around the city so that he would protect it and make sure that the defenses of the city was intact. But a time came when the children of Israel were taken captives in Babylon. That the walls of the city were destroyed. Now, what we want to learn today is that the city of Jerusalem stands today or stood in that time as a symbol. In actual fact, God doesn't really have to come and physically dwell in that particular city. Did you know that the Bible calls us a city? Did you know that the city, how many of you have heard about Zion, the city of God? The Bible delegates, or rather, delegates that, how can I put it? The Bible calls the children of Israel, the people that he chose them, the city of Zion. They are my people, and he desired to inhabit or to dwell among them. And today, God does not desire to live in any particular city. God's dwelling place, in other words, the place where God so desires to dwell is in a man's heart. Hallelujah. Everything, I believe that when God orchestrates and governs, you know, the affairs of this planet and the affairs of the universe, the number one priority that God has is, can my people really recognize my desire that I want to dwell in their hearts? And that's why when we have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are able to walk tall because in us lives the King of Kings. You are a walking habitation of the Lord. Amen. When you walk, we can speak words and we can display characters that when people look at us, they might even say, wow, I see not those people, but I see somebody else. I see the Lord. I see the characteristic of the Lord. And it was so strong when Jesus comes on the earth and he preaches the good news. The Bible says that when they received the Lord, they went about preaching the good news of the Lord, and they went about preaching the kingdom of the Lord. And it was in the city of Antioch that the people who did not know God looked at the believers and they said, wow, these are Christians. Because the way they think, the way they do their things, the way they treat each other, the way they treat other people, it's just the same way as Jesus treated other people. Praise the Lord. We are the habitation of the Lord today. We are the Jerusalem that the Lord is talking about today. God so desires to dwell in our lives. God is going to fulfill the purposes that he has for this planet while he lives in us. It is him who causes us to do what? He gives us the power to do and to will his pleasure. Praise the Lord. It is him who causes us to do and to perform his purposes while we are here on earth. And so it is very, very important for us to understand that God so desires. When the Bible says in the book of John, as many as have believed me in me, and as many as have received me, to them have I given power to become the children of God. You have been given the power to become a child of God. You have been given power even to orchestrate the purposes of God here on earth. Praise be to God. And Jesus says to all those that the Father have brought to me, nobody can take them away from me. Praise the Lord. It might look like it is a simple idea, and we've had it many, 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 many times. But the fact that Jesus, the Son of the living God, would leave his throne and would come on earth and be clothed in a human body so that we can understand the plan and the purpose for which God, our Father, had for humanity, to me that is a mystery. How Jesus, who is also God, was there before the foundations of the earth. At a certain point, God desires for him to come and be clothed in the same human flesh that I'm having today, so that he would experience the same trials and the same temptations that I go through. It is still a mystery to me. And he lives just a normal life. You know, his father, the Bible tells us that he was a carpenter. And he lives a normal life. But as we have seen in the Bible, that Jesus, even while in this body, he committed no sin. Praise the Lord. You know, he was 100% human being, while on the same time, 100% God. So his 100% humanism would be tempted the way I'm tempted. Praise the Lord. But he never gave in. I don't really believe that, you know what, that the things that we go today as temptations, that Jesus was exempted. What do we go through today? We are tempted to steal. We are tempted to fornicate. We are tempted to have evil ideas. We are tempted because our hearts is at enmity with God. There is a war that ranges inside of us. A war that draws us closer to our Savior, and a war that draws us closer to the passions of this flesh. Praise be to God. But I thank God, because in him there was victory. And just because Jesus was victorious, that is the confidence that we have today, that we can also be victorious. If Jesus was without sin for 33 years while he was here on earth, I also believe that the same God who preserved his own begotten Son, now that we have received him and we have received a sonship from the Lord, I know and I have this confidence that we can leave this earth without sinning. Praise be to God. But I also thank God because he has availed all the tools at our disposal. He has availed his grace. He has availed his blood. He has availed himself. And he has availed his intercessory in heaven. The Bible tells me that when he ascended up, he is now seated on the right hand side of the Father interceding for me. Praise be to God. So as you are the carrier of the Savior of the whole world, the enemy determines to come and dismantle the walls that surrounds and keeps and keeps the Savior within you. What would happen if the defenses would be gone? What would happen when we get into an area of spiritual dryness, when we no longer feel like we can serve the Lord, and we no longer feel that we can pick up the telephone and encourage somebody, and we no longer feel like we can take the talents for which the Lord has given us and multiply them the way He desires us to do? What would happen when the defenses are gone? Praise be to God. So the city of Jerusalem is a symbol. It is a symbol. It kind of throws in a picture of what God desires of us. When the walls that surrounds our soul, when the walls that surround our being are being destroyed. And let me tell you, the enemy will never forcefully come and destroy the walls of your life. But he does it in a cunning way. He creeps, he longs to creep into our life and slowly by slowly dismantles a certain section of an area of a wall. And when you are not responsive about it, you know, it's kind of, have you ever heard of how, I was once told of how a rat at night might come to bite your heel. If your home was ever infested with the rats, and we had rats in our home, what the rats normally do, they would come and kind of like, you know, just a little bit and bite your heel a little bit. And you'd just, you know, you feel like there's something that bit you, and then it will just wait. And when you again, you get into a deeper sleep, it will come and bite your heel a little bit. I saw somebody's, one day, by the way, I saw in Liadis, somebody's heel was completely eaten up while he was sleeping. Have you ever heard about it? That's how exactly the devil does it. He wants to attack you, but the main intention is to paralyze the defenses, because he knows once the defenses are gone, then you're defenseless. Hallelujah. And therefore, it is very, very critical for us to be alert of the devices of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Let us now really be aware of the devices of the enemy, for the enemy's purpose, it is to come to steal you, to destroy you, and eventually to do what? To kill you. That is the number one purposes of the enemy. And let me tell you, the enemy will never come straightforward so that you know this is the enemy. Because if he shows up at your door having a very big sign saying that I'm Lucifer the Satan, let me tell you, you're going to go on a 20-day fast and he will never show up again in your doorsteps. But what the enemy does is come in a cunning way. He begins to take you away. You might be a prayerful person. You might be a person who was attending fellowships. All of a sudden, something happens and now you are so much drawn to a certain area. Let me tell you, there will never be a vacuum in our lives. There will never ever be a vacuum, Tony, in our lives. Either we are committed to the Lord, either we have a focus to the Lord, or something else will replace it. There is never one time where will you be idle, doing nothing. The enemy will always want us to be engaged. But I would rather, as the body of Christ, that we will be sold out to the purposes of God. Let us search the scriptures. Let us pray. Let us, when we wake up in the morning, as we were talking about in the Bible study, begin, learn, have a custom of ordering your day. When you wake up in the morning, how do you wake up in the morning? Maybe it is at 7 when the alarm goes. What is the first thing that you do? The first thing you do you go up to open up the fridge and see, okay, where is the milk so that I can pour on the bowl and eat my cereal? I think the first thing that we ought to do is go to your closet and tell the Lord, Lord, I thank you because you have awakened me up from my subconsciousness, and now I am alive again. I know that your purposes will be established today. I order this day, God, everybody who is going to talk to me as I go to work, Lord, I declare that it will not even cost me to go away or stray away from the things that you have set on my life. Praise be to God. And as we do so, as we pray for our spouses, as we pray for our children, as we pray for our church, as we pray for our pastor, as we pray for our friends, things will begin to happen. But let me tell you, the enemy will begin. You might be praying, maybe you wake up in the morning and the first thing you do is to pray. But little by little, the enemy will start coming to interfere with that dedicated and slotted time that you have for prayer, so that you might be praying, but in actual sense, you're just saying nothing. You might be kneeling down to pray, but your mind is building up a castle somewhere in, somewhere. But we can do it. Learn how to speak aloud and paralyze the effects of the enemy in your life. Have you ever knelt down and by the time you begin to pray, you set yourself to pray? That's when you remember, oh, you know what? I've not done the laundry. I didn't call. Sister Joan needed me to call her, or we needed to go to the mall. And actually, you might even change your plans, because the enemy wants to make sure that what you're doing is insignificant, and that you need to arise and go do that other thing which can wait. Praise the Lord. So what happens when the defenses are gone? And so Nehemiah heard about this story, and it really grieved him. Praise be to God. Nehemiah just did more than rebuild a wall. And as we have come to learn that his intention, because this is what happened when the walls were broken, it brought desolation into the camp of the children of God. Let me tell you, we should not celebrate when the walls or the defenses are gone in any one of us. There is a natural tendency in a human being to celebrate the downfall of someone. But as children of God, it's supposed to be the reverse. When a sister or a brother is not coming to the fellowship, he used to be so committed in coming to the fellowship. He used to be on the front line. He used to be the one who used to come and clean up the church. He used to be the one who joined other people. He used to be the one who rallied other people so that we can go for prayer. But he has all of suddenly withdrawn. Those people are under attack. And instead of just rejoicing, we need to go on our knees and tell the Lord, 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 we cannot afford sister so-and-so to be gone. I cannot afford for brother so-and-so to be gone. Because they are very, very important in the kingdom. It is just like a body, and I've told you this many times, and you've heard this many times from me. It is just like when your body cannot operate without any one single organ, however insignificant it might appear to you. It can never function. That piece of that organ that the Lord placed in your body has an integral part to do. And all the functions of those parts in a body, they all work together for the one purpose: to give you, to sustain life for you. Amen. What happened when you had the last time you had a toothache? Do you remember how it pained you? You could not even you don't even want anybody to talk to you, because that toothpick drives you crazy. And until you go to a dentist and he uproots that tooth, then you feel that then you're able to resume your normal functions. It is the same way. When the defenses are gone, like for example, when my defenses are gone, you need to tarry in prayer and pray, Lord, I am going to be the one who is going to rebuild the defenses of my brother. And this is exactly what Nehemiah did. Praise be to God. He not only had this, he was not only disturbed about the walls of Jerusalem that were ruined, but he also was concerned, what is going to happen now to the children of Israel? What is going to happen to the inhabitants? What is going to happen to the temple? Now that the walls have been destroyed, we don't have any longer any defenses, and the city has been exposed. Praise be to God. There are a few things that I want us to learn what Nehemiah did. Praise be to God. Number one, it is on verse 1. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. When we begin to realize that the defenses have begun to be broken apart, this is the formula that we ought to take. Many times we run away from the church. Many times we disconnect ourselves from the brethren. Many times we want to associate ourselves with people who might be making us feel merry, happy and rejoice in certain things that we are connected to. But Nehemiah sets out a plan of what we ought to do. When he heard that the walls of Jerusalem were in ruin. This is exactly what he did. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. Praise be to God. This ought to be our formula. When I hear that the defenses of sister so-and-so are going, when I see that they have begun to stream away from the fellowship, I need to kneel down somewhere and call upon the name of Jehovah, because he is the only one who can give me the ability to rebuild that wall. Maybe he will give me a word when I'm in my closet. Maybe he will give me a scripture. Maybe all they need is a scripture. Maybe all they need is a word of encouragement. Maybe all they need is a visit. Maybe all they need is you passing by Walmart and buying just a bottle of juice and telling them, you know what, my sister is going to be okay. But it will never happen unless we go on our knees. There are so many things that have happened in our church today just because a few of us have dedicated themselves to pray. Some of the miracles that we are experiencing today, Sister Joan, you may not even realize them, but it's because somebody has set themselves to seek the face of the Lord. There is no way we can seek the face of the Lord and lose. There is no way we can dedicate ourselves to the service of the Most High God in prayer and be losers. Church, there is no way. But there has to be somebody who is going to step out. There's somebody who it is going to be so painful that you say, the only thing is that I don't need to pick up a phone and tell on Sister Catherine what has happened to Sister so-and-so. I don't need to even to pick up a phone. We are very good at that. Human beings, naturally, we are inclined to pick up the phone and say, hey, did you hear what that brother did? Yeah? Did you hear what Sister so-and-so did? But the model that Nehemiah is setting to us is that we may kneel down, weep. Weep is a sign of mourning. We are agonizing for what has happened. And for some days I moaned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Notice that Nehemiah was not part of the breaking of the wall. He was not even part, he was not actually within the city, but he received some news of what had happened. And he took ownership. That is what God is expecting us. We have to be our brother's keepers. My brothers, we have to be our brother's keepers. I wish I can stress this more, that how we ought to be our brother's keepers. How can we be our brother's keepers? It is by attending the fellowship. It is by picking up the phone and getting to know how is brother Jim doing with his wife. Praise be to God. Are you listening to me? Glory, 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 glory to God. When the defenses are gone, there has to be somebody who is gonna stand in the gap so that we can surround that city, the city of God, the carrier of God's presence, the carrier of what God is gonna use to transform this earth. Let me tell you, the superpowers of the earth today don't hold the solutions for this planet. The solutions of this planet are within us here, because when we connect with our source, when we connect with our Father, we can destroy strongholds. Because why am I saying this? I am saying this because what we see physically has been created from an unseen world. And it will take a spiritual being who resides inside that shell to communicate with an unseen God and tell him something concerning this planet. Obama doesn't have the solutions of Libya. Neither does France or the United Kingdom. I believe that the solution of this earth, the peace of Jerusalem, the peace of Israel, the peace over this planet is within us. Because we are spiritual beings. Somebody say, I'm a spiritual being. Somebody say, I'm a spiritual stronghold. Yes, you're a spiritual stronghold. You know, a long time ago, I used to think that spiritual strongholds are only demonic. But we also are spiritual strongholds in the divine nature. Because when I stand here and if I declare the words of the Lord, and if I know the authority that the Lord has given me, I have been given power and authority to trample over serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. I tell you, I can exercise that authority, and within the radius of about 10 kilometers or however kilometers, no devil ought to be looming around me. Glory be to Jesus. That's when if you engaged in prayer, our neighborhoods will be saved. That's when we engage in prayer, our children, nothing shall attack our children. That's when we engage in prayer, our nations shall be saved. Our streets shall be saved. But it will never happen until we realize that the walls are in ruins and that we seek the Lord so that he can restore the walls. Praise be to God. He poured it out before the Lord. There's several instances that we have in the Bible. Remember Hannah? Do you remember Hannah of the Bible? Huh? He was the mother of Samuel. And what happened was Elkanah, the husband, was married to a lady called Penina. And Penina, God had opened up her womb. You know? But on the same time, Hannah was, they went to Shiloh. The Bible says that they went to Shiloh as a pilgrimage to the Lord every year to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Now what happened is that her walls were all torn apart by provocations that came from Penina. Because her womb was closed, she would never bear children. But the Bible tells us that every time they went to Shiloh, Hannah would seclude in an area and she would mumble and pour her spirit before the Lord. I cannot stand to see my walls destroyed by this woman who you have blessed with children and you've closed my home. Lord, if only you can give me a child. The Lord is willing to hear that desperate cry when you're crying over your walls that have been shattered by the enemy. And he is ready to respond quickly. If only you can give me a child. Let me tell you, Hannah poured out her heart before the Lord until the servant of God in the house thought that she was drunk. Let me tell you, you don't have to be understood by even a pastor. You don't even have to understand what you are doing. But as long as you're connected with your Savior, as long as you're connected to the author and the finisher of your life, the one who can give you the ability to rebuild your walls, something is going to happen. We can tell him something. And Hannah poured out her heart before the Lord. And every time she was secluded, and she would not even verbalize her words, but her lips would move so as to suggest that she was drunk. And Elkanah comes to her and she tells Hannah, why are you drunk in the morning? And she looked at the servant of God like, you do not understand, because my walls have been shattered. I have to speak to somebody who can give me an ability, who can give me an ability to surround myself. Because when the walls are shattered, there is a sense of insecurity. I live with a provocation every single day. But when he talked to the Savior, when he talked to the Master, God granted her a son. The very thing that needs to cover up that wall is just a prayer away. Church, I will tell you, it is just a prayer away. When we set ourselves to pray and seek the Lord and not just call other people and not just assume that other people would replace God in what he is supposed to do in our lives, because there's a tendency to think that when I pick up the phone and call sister so-and-so, she's going to give me every solution. Little do you know that they're also going through their little world of hell somewhere. And they also need to be connected with a master somewhere so that their walls can be surrounded. Glory be to Jesus. There are so many things. You know, Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He would have gone directly before seeking the Lord. He would have gone to the king and told the king, hey, king, I've served you all these years, but why can't you give me some stones? I need some cement here. I need some men who can come and put up this wall. But the first thing that Nehemiah did was to seek the Lord. God have mercy on us. That sometimes when our walls are shattered, that we need to go to the Lord. Praise be to God. The Bible says in Psalm 51 verse number 17, a broken spirit a broken spirit and a contrite heart God will always welcome. Praise the Lord. God is always willing when he sees that you have a broken heart. And I love that song that we sing here in the church. Brokenness is what he needs. Hallelujah. Humility is all he needs. God desires that we humble ourselves in his presence. Praise the Lord. Number two, this is what also Nehemiah prayed. O Lord God of heaven,
The great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and love with those who love him and obey his commands. Let your ear be attentive to your eyes. Now, notice what Nehemiah does. He begins to praise the majesty. He recognizes the sovereignty of God. Let me tell you, when you go before the Lord, sometimes I really get challenged by the word of God because it tells me, do not be in a hurry to open up your mouth. Because God lives in heaven and we dwell on earth. So when he goes out before the Lord, notice what he does. He says he begins to recognize his majesty. He begins to recognize his sovereignty. Let me tell you, you begin to praise somebody, even in the natural sense, something will happen. Let me tell you, begin to praise your wife today. Begin to praise your children. Begin to praise them even for the little things that they do. And you see a turnaround. You see them brighten up. There's something that happens when you recognize somebody and their position and what they do and who they are. Glory be to Jesus. Let us learn to use words of affirmation. That's what we were learning yesterday. And in fact, in our next married people's fellowship, we'll be talking about the five languages of love. I need to understand what language you respond to. I was doing a survey yesterday and I found that my language of love is touch. When somebody touches me, I feel I'm loved. Not a man, of course, you know, this should be from my wife. There are five languages. There are other people who respond, maybe, you know, you respond. The way you respond love from your wife is when he does the chores in the house. The other people, maybe it's the way maybe he's gives you words of affirmation. That's how you respond. No matter how that man would do in your life, as long as he has done that thing that really you respond to, you will never feel it as love. You know? And we did also a survey. My wife fell under what? The words of affirmation. You know, she fell, you know, she responds to love when I affirm her. Every single, and that tells us how different we are. There are people, unless you really take up your utensils and wash dishes for them, they will never know that you love them. So men, let us learn what is the language of our husbands so that we can do so and they will be pleased. Anyway, we'll talk about, you need to come for the couples meeting next time. But anyway, Nehemiah begins to exalt the Lord. He begins to recognize his character. Praise the Lord. My God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. So number one, we need to weep. We need to be sorrowful. We need to take ownership in that problem. In the walls falling down, take ownership. This is my responsibility. I'm not going to pass the buck or to somebody else. Oh, I wish Sister Catherine was praying. This thing would have never happened. Lord, it is my problem. I take this problem, Lord, but I know that you can do it. Oh Lord, you're the majestic. You put this universe in a creative way. You're the God who keeps the covenant. You begin to recognize the character of God. And quickly, number three, Nehemiah begins to repent on behalf of the people. Praise be to God. He says this in verse number six, I confess the sins we Israelites. Mind you, he was not even there, but he says this, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and the laws you gave your servant Moses. That is number three. He begins to repent. He begins to repent. Let me tell you, it takes a lot of gut to really pray for on behalf of somebody and repent on behalf of their sin. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He became sin on our behalf, isn't it? So we can also repent on behalf of other people. It is biblical for you to take ownership of the problem that somebody is going through or whatever the body is going through. Take ownership. When we come here and cry out tonight, I may not have really committed a sin before the Lord, but I cry out and tell the Lord, Lord, forgive us if forever we have lost the passion for your house. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me too on behalf of our people. You know? And that is the order. You've gotten You have taken the ownership. You have recognized his lordship, his sovereignty. You've recognized his character. And let me tell you, God is eager to hear what you're going to say. And so you begin to repent. Praise be to God. Repent of the sins of the people. Verse number 4. Nehemiah reminded God of his gracious promises. After he repents, now he's telling God, God, remember the instruction you gave to your Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Praise the Lord. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and by your mighty hand. Reminding God about his promises. God, you know, I stand by this scripture. This is exactly what you promised me. Lord, we have suffered long in this country. Haven't you said that you shall give us the uttermost parts of the earth for our inheritance? You can stand on that scripture. It is God who gives me empowerment to become wealthy. You might be going through your walls, your financial walls might be crumbling down. But go throughout the scripture and take on a scripture. Lord, you have promised that I'll be a lender to many nations and borrower of none. Nobody will come to borrow. I will not be a borrower, but I'll be a lender to many nations. You know, every home has their financial woes at one time. It comes to a time when you put a foot down on the wall and you stand on the promises of the Lord. Father, these are creditors calling me. Sometimes you're looking at the call ID and you know, oh, this is the, you know, Capital One credit card. You know, you're past due already. And let me tell you, if there is anything that is so torturous, it's to receive phone calls from creditors who want their money. It can really haunt you. But you know what I believe? There are certain things that we did in stupidity while we were ungenerated. We bought everything that came to, we came across, and we ended up suing in a lot of debt. Why am I telling you that? Been there, done that. You know? But now that we know the truth, we can stand on a scripture. And it's amazing when we commit ourselves, when we recognize that our walls, our financial walls are broken, that God can give us a direction. He might give you a direction of maybe taking a second job. He might give you a direction of maybe how you can minimize the things that we overuse, overdo in our house. He might give you such a contentment that you are so content with the little budget that you have in your house. And little by little, we begin to come out of that debt. But we need, first of all, to weep over this wall. My Lord, this wall is killing me. Secondly, I'll recognize his majesty. I will repent because God has given me a stewardship. I'm a steward and I'm supposed to take the things of the Lord in a way that pleases him. Praise the Lord. And I'll recognize his majesty. And then I will go into the word and look for his promises. Lord, you have said in your word that I'll be a lender to many, but a borrower of none. I stand on this scripture. I stand on it, Lord. Give me a way. And let me tell you, if we are honest enough, the Lord will give us a way. Hallelujah. Are we listening? Are you listening to me? The Lord will definitely give us a way out. However he is going to give it to you, it might not be the same as he will give it to me. But certainly, I know that the Lord will give you a way. Praise be to God. And the next point is that Nehemiah requests specific help to begin this process. Okay? Remember, many times we jump into this process. Oh, especially we men, you know, we are quick. We are, you know, it's like when we have an issue, we want to give a solution right now. We are not, okay, we might think that we are problem solvers, but in reality, it's God who helps us to be problem solvers. We cannot jump on number 6 and then we have avoided point all the way, point number 1, number 2, and we are jumping on point number 6. That is the order of how things are going to be accomplished. Praise be to God. Amen, somebody. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Nehemiah requests specific help to begin this process. Oh Lord, let your ear be attentive to prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today in granting him favor in the presence of this man. He wants to go now to the king to ask for help. But in the first place, he had talked to his heavenly king. Praise be to God. That is how the order ought to be. In order for us to rebuild these walls, the walls are never going to be rebuilt by our own strength, because the Bible tells us it is not by might, neither is it by our own power, says the Lord. It is by the strength of the Lord that we will be able to accomplish. Even bringing up a family. Bringing up a family, it is not by your own strength. Sometimes you have this tendency to feel, oh, I have this wonderful job and I go work. I have favor with my bosses. I have everything. There's a paycheck that comes at the end of the week. Let me tell you, if the Lord withdrew his presence, you'll be shocked how what a chaotic place you will be able to experience this. Everybody against you, every boss wants to fire you. But it is by the favor of the Lord that you're preserved in that career, that you're preserved in that job, that you're able even to go to work and bring in home a paycheck in order to pay your bills. Praise the Lord. So let us learn as Nehemiah has taught us. First of all, when we have recognized, when the report comes to us, because I certainly know it will come to you, you recognize, oh God, at this time, Lord, my financial world is crumbling. Then we need to go to the Lord, weep over that situation. And the next thing that we are going to do is exalt the name of the Lord. Recognize his character. Lord, aren't you the God who keeps the covenant with your people? God, is there not? Haven't you said that 1,000, all the cattle in 1,000 hills belong to you? Lord, haven't you said that silver and gold are mine? All the treasures of the earth are mine. And you begin to recognize his character. And the next thing, what do you do? What do you tell him? Or did you forget? You begin to repent. You begin to repent. Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I went and I used this money. I bought everything that I came across, Lord. And I got into some business transactions before even inquiring from you, Lord. Please forgive me. And the Lord is going to forgive you. Praise the Lord. And the next thing, what do we do? Remind him of his promises. What are the promises of God concerning the issue that you're going through? And the next thing, ask him to guide you in order to come out of the situation. And the Lord is going to guide you. Praise the Lord. Shall we all stand on our feet in Jesus' name? Praise the Lord. Church, let me tell you this. I have some situations that I'm going through right now. And I've just decided to follow this model of Nehemiah. I want to apply it first in my life. And I want to see how it's going to come out. For surely it's not if issues will come into your life or into your marriage or into your career or into the lives of your children. It's when they pop up. But when those defenses begin to crumble, do we have a criteria in which we are going to follow so that the Lord can come through for us? Surely the Lord wants to be recognized in this situation. The Lord recognizes that we messed up and we need to repent. The Lord wants to be quickened in his word, his promises. And finally, the Lord needs us to ask him, Lord, give me help. Guide me in this issue that I may come out of it. And he surely will do it. Thank you, Lord. Every eye closed. And lift up your hand right now before the Lord in the name of Jesus. Let it be a sign of surrender. I don't know what you're going through, child of God. It could be maybe issues that are mounting up. They've mounted up to a point whereby you care no more. But we just can't just throw in the towel and just surrender. We can come back to the Lord and mourn over those walls that the enemy is trying to crumble down and to destroy. The moment we begin to recognize his lordship and his character in our lives, sooner as we do begin to do that, then he will lead us
into a point where we're able to, he exposes the sins or the things that we did wrong, and we're able to tell him, Lord, I'm sorry. And as we do that, he will lead us into his word, where we can pick up some scriptures that we can stand upon steadfastly. And as we ask him for his help, we'll be having a backing. We'll be having a point of reference. And we are going to come through. Father, we thank you. We bless you for your word today. I thank you, Father, for every single one of us here, whatever they're going through. It might be financial issue. It might be sickness. It might be a problem in marriage. It might be issues with the kids. It might be communication, whatever it is, Lord. It might be the in-laws. It might be a myriad of so many things, Lord. But I praise you because you're our source. We are connected with you, Lord. And if we disconnect with you, Lord, we'll be no more. I pray that our defenses, which we ought to value so much, Lord, we pray for those defenses, that they're going to be intact. That when the enemy attacks us, Lord, he will find those defenses intact. And we shall steadfastly stand for the Lord to the glory and honor of your name. Give us the strength, Father, even to pursue the righteousness, to pursue the presence of God in our lives, in the name of Jesus. You've called us to be our brother's keepers, Lord. Help us where we have failed, O Lord. Help us, Lord, where we have given up the towel. And help us to pick up our broken pieces together. And as we begin to put them together, Lord, let the glue of the Spirit of the Lord help us to begin to form this broken vessel that has been shattered by the enemy, in the name of Jesus. And it shall be well again, in Jesus' name. You might be here, you've never given your life to Jesus, but as you listen to the voice, to my voice this day, you want to surrender to him, and you want to say that, Lord, I want to come inside of you. You can hear that voice of the Lord saying, I want to come inside of you and bring a change. Lift up your hand. We're going to pray together in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I want to dismiss these brothers and sisters, Lord, as they go into the marketplaces. I declare that none of them will be harmed by the enemy. I declare that they will be enveloped by the crowd of your glory, in the name of Jesus. Surround them with your favor, in the name of Jesus. Bless the work of their hands. Let their defenses be intact, in the name of Jesus. And where the enemy has crept in and began to in a cunning way destroy the defenses, Lord, I pray that you shall restore those defenses in the name of Jesus. I take power and authority over all the schemes of darkness in the name of Jesus, and I declare that nobody shall be under the bondage of the enemy, in the name of Jesus, to the glory and honor of your name. I pray for the zeal of the house of God among this your children, in the name of Jesus, that when we begin to turn our faces unto you, then shall we realize of the vital relationship that you're calling us into. I thank you, Heavenly Father. May you bless them. May you illuminate in their ways. Bring healing and bring deliverance in whatever they might be going through, Lord. We thank you and we bless you for all these things we pray in Jesus' name.